Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Vince Gower from Stanlake Park. How are you, Vince?
I'm very well, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. We're going to be talking a wee bit about Stanlake Park. I understand you've been the winemaker there for 20 years.
This year, I did my 20th harvest, October just gone.
So you've been there longer than the owners themselves?
The current owners, yes. Peter and Annette Dart are the current owners. They bought it about 5 years ago.
Okay, and when did Stanlake Park start? Because it was one of the first wineries during the New English Revolution, wasn't it?
It was, that's right. We really got on the map in the sort of very early 1991, 1992. John Warrenchek, a very well-known flying winemaker, really got Stanlake on the map. It was then known as the Thames Valley Vineyard, mm-hmm. later became Valley Vineyards, and the new owner has introduced Stanlake Park Wine Estate as the new name to sort of emphasise the name of the original estate, because the estate where the vineyard is actually dates back to the 11th century.
Sure. But as far as I remember, it's always been called Stanlake Park. So when was the name changed?
5 years ago to Stanlake Park, but the marketing has, you probably know it as Stanlake Park because that's where the marketing has all been, because that happens to be the owner's background. He's part of one of the world's biggest marketing companies, so that helps.
Oh, what's that one?
WPP.
Oh, yep. They're huge, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay, I've been watching a bit of Mad Men, actually, so I know all about Madison Avenue.
okay, good.
Excellent. And so you've been a winemaker there 20 years. Have you been there right from the start?
Just after the start. John Warrenchek was there first, and then I worked and trained with him. And then I've been the winemaker sort of sole charge for the last sort of 10 years.
Stanlake Park, from my understanding of the history of English wine mm-hmm. anyway, started out with quite a rush and a flurry, and then it sort of died off a wee bit. Not so much that you got smaller or anything like that, but you didn't hear much about it, and I'm mm-hmm. just starting to hear a wee bit more about it nowadays. So what's going on there?
Basically, we sort of eased up on the marketing because we were winning so many awards, both nationally and internationally, that we were sort of fast selling out of wines, and the issue became actually sort of producing enough. We've sort of been pretty low on stock for the last few years, and now we're sort of gradually building up our stocks and sort of resurfacing and sort of getting out there a little bit more now.
How big's the vineyards?
We've got 30 acres of our own, and we do buy some fruit in from some contract growers that grow for us, so that sort of helps boost things a bit. But 2007, 2008 were not the best harvests for us and a lot of other vineyards.
Yeah.
But last year was really good. So we got some good wines coming through from 2009 particularly.
Excellent. And what sort of grapes and wines do you make? I tried your sparkling just before.
Yeah, well, we've got a real assortment. Because it was set up originally, it started as the owner's hobby. He wanted to experiment with about 27 different varieties. So we've got just about everything. So harvest is a bit of a challenge because they all ripen different times, as I'm sure you know. But predominantly the sort
of... Doesn't it give you time in the winery to look after each?
It just means lots more tanks to keep them all in. So we get to work with everything. And one of the interesting things is that because we make for so many other vineyards, you get to see that particular grape from different vineyards. So, say, Bacchus, for example, from all the different parts of the country.
Oh, okay. How do you find Bacchus changes around the country?
Generally, the ones in the south do seem to be a little bit better, the more south often, a little bit riper. If they've got a bit of chalk there, then that's really nice on it.
How does the chalk change it?
It just gives it that just cleaner character. It just somehow much
is
more...
Is it the acidity or the fruit?
I think it's the actual fruit flavour. The flavour is just more intense, it's more grassy. It's becoming a very popular grape now. I mean, I think it'll be the sort of the Pinot Grigio or Chardonnay of England. I think it will become the one that England is known for.
Sure. Okay, so you're doing a bit of Bacchus. Have you growing a bit of Rondo?
We don't grow Rondo, no.
That makes a reasonable wine.
It's all right. We don't actually have any planted ourselves, but we do it for other contract customers, and it's a nightmare in the winery. It's like food colouring everywhere. Get it on your hands, nightmare.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favourite grape variety?
Probably like a lot of people, I suppose the Pinot, I guess. It's a fairly stereotypical, but because it's so versatile, we use it for red on good years, like 2009, for example. Other years for the Fizz and Rosé, so it's good all-rounder.
But you don't make a Pinot Noir still? Is it all going into sparkling?
We've made one in 2009, and we've made it 3 years before in the last 20 years. So we've only made it three times before. And it's been pretty good. It's had a good following. We were selling it £25 a bottle, sold out. So we've got to make sure the 09 is going to be good or okay. We won't release it.
And when are you releasing it?
Who knows? It's in oak. We'll just keep tasting it, seeing, and eventually we'll see if it makes it to market.
What sort of oak do you give the Pinots? Because, you know, it's quite a light style from England, usually, the Pinots, and they can't take a lot of oak.
That's right. We use a blend of new and old oaks, predominantly new, light or medium toast French oak. And then we also keep a little bit out of oak as well, so in case we have to tweak it at the end just to freshen it a little bit. So it's all a bit of a juggling act.
Okay. What sort of percentage new and old are you giving it?
Are predominantly new. The older oaks we tend to use for our Ruscombe, which is our sort of standard red, and then it can sort of sit a little bit longer there.
All right, getting back to your marketing, obviously you've got a man who knows a wee bit about marketing in place now.
Yeah, he's got a bit of an idea.
I understand that you guys have really been catering more to the local market than maybe trying to service, say, the restaurant industry in London or anything like that.
Yeah.
Is that? That doesn't sound like a plan from a man from WPP.
Well, basically, with the stocks that we've had, it's been the only option. We've been turning away trade contracts for the last sort of 2 years, and now we're just starting to retake them on again. I mean, in the past, we've done the usual. We've done all the supermarkets, been in all the multiples in the past. But it's so competitive now that, you know, when we sell it in the shop, you know, we do a little event. You can clear a couple of pallets by doing a little open day, and you're getting full retail price. It does make good sense. Fortunately, because we've got such a lovely estate, people want to come there. We do a little open day, and the place is packed. We did a food fair not long ago with a local event organiser, and we got several thousand people turn up, and it's a good way to sell the wine.
Yeah, it's nice and profitable. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what's your most popular wines?
At the moment, it seems to be the aromatic sort of Hinton Grove is our floral aromatic one. The Pinot Blush, which is our rosé, light summer style wine. The reds, we always move more in the winter. Fizzes tend to be sort of consistent throughout the year. But generally, at the moment, it seems to be the rosé and the aromatic styles. Oaked wines are very slow at the moment.
If you're having problems meeting consumer demand, obviously the next step is to expand the vineyards. Have you thought about doing that, or you're not part of the great wave of new English fizz plantings going on?
We'll probably buy some of their surplus stock, perhaps. We're much more concentrated on the winery, the shop, events, things like that, rather than the vineyard growing side. So we're pretty happy with the current size. And we're replacing some of the older vines with a bit of new stock. But generally, we're keeping the vineyard as is.
I understand you're one of the seven places in the UK to disgorge wines. There's not that many places if
that's
you've got
right.
a sparkling wine.
Yep, that's
There's
right.
only
and
you
we were one of
and
the
a
first.
Few others that do it.
That's
and,
right.
But you also do contract disgorgement as well.
We do disgorging for quite a lot of customers throughout the country, and I think we were probably one of the first to start doing that, and that's sort of good, consistent, steady work.
Do you think that'll continue, or do you think as some of these new wineries get more established, they'll build their own wineries and their own disgorgement?
I think a lot of people will invest because it's expensive contracting it out, having other people doing it for you. So I think quite a few are looking, and I know for a fact some of them are actually looking at installing their own lines, which is probably a sensible thing if you've got a fair volume.
Yep. Okay. And what do you think is the thing to look out for English viticulture in the future?
To look at in what sense?
Well, there's a lot of vines coming on track for 2012, just in time for the Olympics, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
There's
definitely going to be a big surge in people pushing fizz. I think everyone will be pushing their fizzes. And hopefully it's going to be successful because with everyone behind it, pushing it, then the public will know about it.
Sure. But are you not worried about an oversupply situation?
There will be a fizz, I suspect, unless the marketing guys get organised, yes.
Okay, and you've got a good marketing man in charge.
And we're not making too much fizz.
So what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to be buying lots of grapes?
We'll be able to buy the surplus grapes, yes. Hey,
are you buying grapes now?
We do buy a little bit to keep the stocks up, yes.
Okay, and no other plans for planting? No other plans? Just a nice steady as you go?
Yeah, just a steady growth. The contract winemaking continues to grow steadily, and we'll probably focus on that.
And as a business, how did you go with the, obviously the... 07-08 vintage was quite mm-hmm. lean.
It was, yes.
Was it a profitable year for you guys, or was it just not enough wine to sell?
Profitable, probably a stretch. Probably a stretch.
But 09 looks good?
09's looking good, yes.
And how's 010 looking? It's still early days, isn't it?
It's very early days. Wouldn't like to comment, given that we had a near frost last night. So wouldn't like to comment.
Yeah, I was talking to the viticulturist at Dimby. She was up very late.
Nervous.
Very early in the morning.
Yes, it's. I mean, that's what we're finding now. The weather's just going in bubbles. There's no sort of consistency. You know, last year we had growth in the vineyard. It was like day of the Triffids out there. This year, who knows? I think frost will be the worry this year, because a lot of people are sort of 2 to 3 weeks behind at the moment. So we could be harvesting quite late, but who knows? We might catch up.
Okay, I suppose the thing about vineyards, vines, is they shut down. If they're not producing much grapes, they sort of build up energy in the roots, don't they? Mm-hmm. And then they just really let it go when they finally get a good season.
Yeah.
You said Day of the Triffids, I presume. That's just vegetative growth.
That's right. Don't know. We'll see what happens this year.
Okay then, Vince. We'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Nice talking to you.
Cheers,
thanks,
mate.
Bye.